fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy. You've landed KCNR 1460, and welcome to the show today. Well, first I want to start with our weird weather.
Weird
Jim
weather.
Bremer, what is it?
Nasty
What's
weather
on?
Out there. Yeah, we have all kinds of fun stuff. A hazardous weather outlook. There's a flood watch because, of course, the ground is saturated and all the rain we've been getting is just kind of putting quite a problem with creeks and things like that. Also, wind advisory. That's the biggie. It's going to get windy today. Picking up tonight, the wind advisory is in effect till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and so lots more showers and even thunderstorms again possible. I don't know where you live, Trudy, but down at my house, it looked like it snowed. All the hail that came down, it was just a layer of white all over everything.
Wow, pretty, but still odd, huh?
Yeah, you don't want to be out in it.
Yeah.
I know some people needed a four-wheel drive to get around Reading, which is almost unheard of with just hail, but it's
well,
there's
a lot
going on.
Well, I can see the hail still built up out here in front of the studio.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool last night, too, about 40 degrees or so, so didn't melt much.
Okay, and then next week, what's coming?
More rain.
Are we ever
going to
see that big gas ball in the sky, the sun again, you think?
You know, I've heard of that. I Googled it the other day.
Yeah.
I found a picture on the Internet. But, no, in fact, if you look at, like, Weather Channel is looking at their long-range forecast this morning, and the extended forecast, at least according to them, I lost it here. But basically it's showers and rain continuing for a while.
Oh.
In fact, you look at this, you know, Saturday, rain, wind. Tomorrow, rain.
Look
Monday, rain.
Look at that gloom outlook.
A few showers on Tuesday, rain Wednesday, showers Thursday, rain Friday. We're going to get a few breaks here and there, but nothing like what we had in January.
Put your sandals away.
Winter has not left us yet. And tomorrow, I think, is the first day of spring.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, thanks for that update. I appreciate it. Well, you know, our first guest up here is Scott Jackson from Cascade Paint. And, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, I was down at your store last week, and I wanted to paint a wall. And you carry something called Mythic Paint, which is, like, about as healthy as you can get for, you know, painting. And I was so impressed that I invited you on to talk about it a little bit. And, you know, I painted a wall. And that was some slick paint. That was fancy stuff. So why do you guys carry that?
It's zero VOC paint, but it goes basically two steps further in that it's completely non-toxic. There are no VOCs in it. There's no carcinogens. Your standard non-toxic or your standard zero VOC paint will still have carcinogens and what they call exempt solvents,
mm-hmm.
the solvents that the air board does not see as being in danger to our environment, but they are still a danger to our health.
Yeah.
So Mythic goes, you know, beyond, above and beyond, and makes something that is completely non-toxic. It doesn't even carry a warning label. No carcinogens, nothing that would be dangerous to your health. So.
Wow. So if you're hungry, you can eat it, then. It's that safe, basically?
Actually, it's safe to drink. We just don't recommend
okay,
it.
Okay, good. It looks like milk, but it's not. And so, you know, VOCs are volatile organic compounds, and they just sort of sneak on out of the paint into the room. And the more we learn about chemicals, the more we learn that, boy, the more we can avoid them, the healthier we are. And darn, they're just, you know, constantly being accused of causing cancer. So the more we can choose a non-toxic approach and still be creative and have beautifully colored walls, you know, that's fun.
Yeah, you're not limited by color at all when it comes to this. And it really is good for anybody that's health conscious or, like, pregnant women that want to paint a nursery or anybody with any kind of respiratory problems. It's great for that. You're not going to have any kind of issues using the Mythic paint.
So you can do any color you want. If you see it out there, you can bring a paint chip in.
You can bring me any color you want. You can bring me a color out of a magazine or out of a different paint line. Any color you want, I can make anything in the Mythic paint. And you can have any sheen that you like, too. We have a flat, eggshell, semi-gloss, you know, as shiny as you'd like it, any color you like.
Okay. And, you know, I also like the fact that, man, I couldn't smell anything. You know, it just, you couldn't tell I was painting in my kitchen. And so I opened all the doors. I did the things that I usually do, which I would do anyway. I would still recommend people ventilate. And I, you know, I have an ionizer that I usually plug in to just try to nuke the smell. There was really, I couldn't smell anything while I was painting it. It dried. When you walk through the house, there's no "I just painted a wall" smell for the first month. It was, what an experience. I consider that to be pretty outstanding. And the fact that you have that right here in our town, we don't have to mail order it and pay all the shipping. Now, how much more? I know we're paying more for that. How much more are we paying?
You paid, you know, about 30% more. You know what? Would traditionally, it cost you about $25 a gallon. With Mythic, it's going to cost you, you know, somewhere between 30 and 40.
Okay, it's completely worth it, you know. And then are some? You said Mythic has like a higher end label and did you call it a black label or
yes,
what's
they just
that?
Recently came out with in addition to their standard color line, the Mythic Classic, they have both a Mythic Pro and a Mythic Black label. The Mythic Pro is the contractor end of it, and the Mythic Black Label is their top-end premium label, which basically provides more color attention and just for the richness and depth of color. Color tends to fade over time, and with the Black Label and the unique resin that they're using, it actually tends to inhibit that fading, so you actually end up with a truer color over a longer period of time.
Okay, so the resin is, like, if you have sunshine shining on your wall, that's going to hold the color a little more true longer. Is that
yes.
what the resin's
yes.
doing? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, gosh, thanks for coming on. This is a very important piece of information for people who have any type of environmental illness, which is most of my whole practice. You know, they're just kind of sensitive to everything. And,
right.
you know, there was a time where it was sort of politically correct to walk through the mall and someone might spray you with a perfume, you know, and now, gosh, people just get disoriented and, you know, we're all just a little bit sicker. So we have to take these extra steps to stay healthy or get healthy. So I appreciate you coming in and, love to have some little handouts or flyers or pamphlets or something about the Mythic paint so we can hand them out to people. So
I would love to do that, too. And anybody that mentions that they heard the radio show today, we're going to give them our veterans discount, which is about 30% off retail.
Wow.
So come and see us at the paint store, Cascade Paint Supply.
And where are you guys located?
1220 California Street, around the corner of California and Eureka.
Okay, and how long have you been there?
53 years.
I knew it was something amazing.
Yeah, he doesn't look that old, does he?
It's actually getting ready to move into its third generation. Small, family-owned business. Come support your local community.
Definitely. All right, thanks for coming on. You're listening to Positively Healthy. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We'll be right back.
What do you look for in a building?
Good. Welcome back to KC, Dr. Trudy Pratt, and welcome back to KCNR 1460. In the studio, we have a crew here, and we're going to start with Dan Martin of Lazy 69 Ranch. Dan, the people of Redding know you. They love you. You're their hero, and welcome back.
Thank you. That's pretty kind words for a guy from Chicken and Cattle Ranch.
Well, you know, you're one of our sponsors, and when we started this show, however long ago that was, we knew that we had to have you on board as a sponsor because we wanted to just talk you up and talk to you all the time and just keep talking to you and talking to you and talking to you because we just learn so much every time you come on. So, but you're here today to make kind of a big old positive announcement.
Well, I think, it is a positive thing, something I've been really excited about. As you know, I think maybe if I took a step back, you know, the other night at the Weston H. Price Foundation chapter meeting, one lady came up to me and said that she recognized the name and kind of knew about me a little bit, but had no real, you know, background on how did I begin? Why am I doing this?
Mm.
You know, I'm just a guy from Lazy 69 Ranch that showed up and is selling meat.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be kind of cool before, I guess, we introduce our other guest here.
Our surprise guest.
Keep everybody waiting on that. To kind of give a little bit of background on how did I and why in the world did I start this crazy farming thing. You know, I used to have a full-time job as a hydrologist, working 4 days a week, and now I work 8 days a week. And I don't know if I did good on that equation there, but basically about 10 years ago, my mom called me one day and told me she had cancer. And, you know, you're in this state of shock and disbelief, and then she says, no, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to radically change my diet. She says, I've learned so much about processed foods and whole foods and how many of our foods that we think are whole are actually processed. And then I got to talk to my grandpa, who was the big Jack LaLanne fan.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, he used to work in a slaughterhouse. And my grandpa doesn't eat beef anymore. And so that was like this big aha moment, like, well, wait a minute. My mom's saying that, you know, her doctor's saying, change your diet. You know, help yourself out. My grandpa, I quizzed him, why don't you eat beef anymore? And he's like, well, what it came to was they both considered the beef that they were eating a processed food at that time because there were so many things that they didn't know about the beef and that were in the beef potentially, and that my mom didn't really want to give it up. She, like me, you know, we thrive on protein, and she didn't want to give the beef up if she didn't have to. So about 10 years ago, I started raising beef for her.
Ah.
And we started raising our own eggs, and for friends and for family. And then our friends and family got bigger and bigger, and I became this man on a mission, basically, to just give these people a source of accountability and traceability for the beef that they were eating and the eggs that they were eating. And that, you know, pretty soon I had all these friends and family, and then a few years ago I finally jumped over to doing it full-time from my other full-time job. So then we started, me as a first-generation cattle rancher, my background's hydrology, ran into a lot of challenges starting a cattle beef business, both from the learning curve, being very sharp, and trying to provide a truly pastured product to people.
What is a pastured product?
Well, that's a good question. You know, to me, a pastured product is, for beef, for cattle in particular, is something that's basically raised on grass and finished on grass. And
you mean as nature intended?
Yeah, it's their native diet.
Hey.
That's what they were meant to eat, grass, basically. They're ruminants. Cattle are ruminants. So basically, it's not just raising a cattle on mama's milk in pasture and then cramming it into a crowded feedlot to get it fat in a timely, efficient manner. It's allowing them to finish in their own time, using their genetics to allow them to do that, and finishing them on pasture. Let them eat grass right up to their only bad day that they're ever going to have.
I love that. Their one bad day.
Yeah. Who else can live their entire life with only one bad day?
I don't know. It's impressive.
So that's where we began, was basically for friends and family to hey, I was concerned about my mom. I wanted to give her a better alternative. She's saying, I really don't want to give up my beef, you know. So I started raising it for her. And then they liked it, and we learned more about it. And now...
How's your mom now?
She's doing great. She's doing great. She is a really big part of my motivation for doing this, because I've seen... She sent me on the mission, and then other people was like, really? You know, wow. And then they start to feel better. And as you've always said, the simple little things incrementally that you can do to start feeling better. So, you know, from there, we just kept going, and I think we have to take a break now. And
I know. Everyone in the studio is giving us the...
Again, you know, so that's what happens when you hand me the microphone.
I know. I love it. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Do you...
Welcome back. Hey. Welcome back. Hey, this is Positively Healthy, and we're talking with Dan Martin of Lazy 69 Ranch. He's in the studio here with us. And, you know, you're in the upcoming issue of Shasta Edible Butte, right?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is
that? Our hens nearly fell off the perch when they found out that their eggs made the cover.
Wow, they made the cover.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, our egg business is one of those things. Again, we started almost simultaneous with the beef about 10 years ago on an experimental level. And now we have a nice little free-range operation. We've got over a couple thousand layer hens, and we supply local stores, and people tell us that our eggs are the best. And they come up and see how they're raised, and, the proof is in the product. I think it all
Oh,
really
absolutely.
Makes sense.
Now, run through those stores again. We've done that for folks in the past, but give us those stores again.
Yeah, we sell our eggs at Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, a few of the holiday markets like on Placer and Palo Cedro, Cottonwood, and on Hartnell. And Kent's Market also has them down there.
Kent's Meats out
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
okay.
Kent's Meats has them. Yeah. And also at Sunset Market.
Okay.
So
that's a lot of places.
Boy, it is.
Okay, and then you have over 2,000?
About 2,000 layer hens right now.
Okay, and sometimes you sneak to San Francisco. Is that still
we
happening?
We do, yeah. Every couple of weeks or so, I'll take a load of eggs down to San Francisco. A couple of stores down there that are always happy to see me down there. They love the farm fresh eggs.
And what are they willing to pay for those eggs, Mr. Dan Martin?
Well, the consumer in Redding pays $4.25 to $4.89 a dozen. And the consumer in San Francisco pays $7.99 to $8.49 a dozen.
Isn't it nice to be in Redding? Yeah, that's great. But good for you, you know.
Yeah, it's
there's a demand, and you're meeting it.
And there is, and you know, they appreciate the. And I always tell people, I'm just as proud of how I arrived at my product as I am of my product itself. In other words, it's I'm very transparent and proud of how I got to that good quality egg that you see.
Oh, yeah. There. Lots of work and effort.
It's
and
an eight-day-a-week thing. They won't take Sundays off and lay me two eggs on Monday still. They're just...
Darn. Yeah, okay, keep working on that.
So, our egg sales have been strong. We're going to get an organic certification here really soon. We just had an inspection from the local Shasta County inspector, and they were very, very pleased with how clean the operation was and the commitment to all that. And we're also continuing our beef operation, you know, our pastured beef. I was, trying as a first-generation, I'll call myself first-generation cattleman, you know, I soon realized that, you know, my place would hold an awful lot of chickens on it sustainably, but it wouldn't hold an awful lot of cattle on it sustainably. 130 acres, some people would think that would hold a lot of cattle, but, you know, when you're growing for mom and have all these friends suddenly that I'm growing for, I had an option. And my option was to, one, since our place is going to be certified organic here and it had been operated organically already, was to basically import organic hay and turn my place into an organic feedlot and sell my beef, maybe for more money, with an organic label on it. That was
hiss.
That was very contrary to my whole mission, my whole philosophy where I had started.
Good.
And I thought, that just isn't right. I wouldn't be proud of that. And I don't want to turn my place into a dirt lot. Even though it's very efficient, a very efficient way to fatten cattle, I want to give people a true pastured product. And so...
What's better about a pastured product?
Well... The product itself, for one, the cows are allowed to just get their graze on. Cows want to graze. That's what they do, and they're allowed to do that. And the other thing is there's a higher, it's been reported by credible sources, there's higher omega-3s in the pasture-based beef.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that feed-food connection. The cattle are eating their native diet. They're healthier. You're consuming the beef from the cattle. And it just kind of translates right on through.
And what about E. coli? What about that risk?
Well, your cow, again, it's all built in. Your cow is your natural filter for E. coli. Because when they get grain-fed, they create an acidic environment in their rumen, and E. coli can thrive and survive in that acidic environment as it does, you know, in our own stomach. And there's actually a somewhat of an alkaline environment if a cow is eating grass. And the E. coli is basically filtered through the cow. And then also we have this dry aging process that we undergo for 3 weeks that, again, reduces. And that's why you don't see E. coli in grass-fed beef.
Excellent. I think that is such important information for the chain store shoppers who are buying burger. You know, this
and
is
it's
such a...
so simple. It's just let the cow graze, and
nature
it will
take care of itself. Yeah.
You don't need to game it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's important. So I kind of worked up to where, you know, what do I do if I can't, you know, I'm renting other local ranch pastures and trying to build the genetics in the herd. And then I meet up with this guy named Henry here.
Uh-oh, I think he's in the studio.
You know, and I look at what he's got, and he's got these incredibly slick, short-frame cattle that are getting fat, and he knows how to graze them. He has this art and this science thing put together in one ball. And I'm like, well, geez, you know, why... I can stop looking. This guy gets it. He understands it. And it was really, kind of overwhelming for me to manage both the egg daily production with just my wife and I. You know, we're a small scale. We don't have any employees. And chase cattle around the pasture all the time and take care of them. And so I've kind of turned to Henry as my grazier now. He raises the cattle. So the Lazy 69 Ranch beef that you see is coming from Hat Creek.
Excellent.
And,
okay, well, we're going to describe more of that here right after we take a break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR 1460. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And we're back with Dan Martin. And Dan... So we're making an announcement here today. So you've started by saying, you know, you're teaming up with Hat Creek Grown, and in the studio we have Henry Giacomini. And welcome, Henry, to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having
me. Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations on your new, I don't know, partnership, I
guess.
Well,
you know, it's new in the sense that
they're both blushing.
We're letting this out of the bag. But honestly, you know, if you've eaten Lazy 69 Ranch beef in the past year or more, or so it's been grown in Hat Creek.
I know. It's the same thing. The consumer is guaranteed the same wonderful experience.
You know,
but you guys are kind of new to supporting each other so completely, right? So that's got to feel good.
I think the beauty of it is really, truly, it benefits the consumer because, one, is they're getting the same level of accountability. They're getting a truly pastured product, which we already discussed some of the health benefits of that. And you know what else? It's all coming from right here in Shasta County.
Amen!
Now, how in the world, I mean, I say bring it on. There are very few cities like Reading that have access to a beef product that is raised and pastured in the same county, you know, by people living in the same county. We're, you know, basically walking the walk when it comes to local instead of talking the talk. There's a lot of fluffy marketing out there about, you know, buy our natural beef and gaming these things and feedlotting. But Henry's the man when it comes to having that art and that science combination, as I mentioned earlier, in one ball, where he knows how to properly raise cattle and how to get them fat and how to get them consistent without a feedlot.
Excellent. Now, Henry, what's your background? How did you get into this business?
Well, you know, both my wife and I grew up in agriculture, and so we're rooted in it many generations. And so we just knew both of us early on, even before we met, that we were going to stay in these businesses. I actually grew up on a dairy farm in Humboldt County.
Oh, great.
And my wife Pam grew up on the ranch where we live in Hat Creek. And, after college and a short stint in the dairy business in Humboldt County, we moved to Hat Creek in 1988. And started a cattle ranch, essentially, and a cattle business that had been her dad's and her grandfather's and great-grandfather's. And we, started with a pretty small nucleus of cattle and property and then just tried to build it up. And actually, what really has been important to us is the, many things. But one is the love of the land, the real tie that we have, the connection, the deep connection to where we are, where we live, and how we take care of it. And intuitively, over the years that we've been involved in the traditional ranching business, we had seen many, I don't know if I want to use the word problems, but a lot of challenges and a lot of struggles. And, you know, you see the statistics about ranches get bigger and there are fewer and fewer ranches and agriculture in general, and how the pressures for every generation to continue those businesses are so great that we lose people.
Right.
And so somehow we knew we had to find ways to stick it out, if nothing else, and to build a business and a life that we were proud of and that we enjoyed and that we knew that we were doing something for the greater good. It's just kind of, there's just a lot that rolls into that. And so we evolved into producing or directly selling some of our meat starting in about 2002 or 3. And, we were very conventional and traditional in our production approaches because of our background. And so when we started it, we wanted to make sure that every piece of meat we produced and sold to a consumer direct with our name, Hat Creek Grown, was going to be good. And that was paramount to us. So we did that by finishing the cattle in grain after we had grazed them their entire lives up till they're about a year and a half old. And, many things, there were problems with that, especially at the small scale and at our location. We just couldn't make that work. And not only that, we didn't, in the end, realize the product that we were producing wasn't different enough from the beef that you could buy at any store to really justify to the consumer that this was something special that they should come to us to get.
I see.
So between economics and that need to reach more people that have different needs, the combination of those things led us to finishing those animals on grass, but finishing cattle, especially on all grass, is a very difficult thing to do.
Now, it just, to the layperson, that would be me, it sounds easier. Like, instead of bringing them in to give them grain, you just leave them out there. And but tell me why it's harder to finish them on grass.
Well, it does probably sound easier, and it's harder because of the nutritional requirements of the animal as they reach the finished phase, so that the meat is a good eating experience.
Okay.
And it takes so much more energy and
so their nutritional needs just go up, and you need to give them something. I mean, what is it that they can't eat enough grass in a day to get that? Or?
Well, many times that's the case. So
okay.
That you have to make sure that the available grass and the type of grass and forages that is available has the nutritional requirements to make those animals finish, so that when we, you know, get a steak on our plate, we're really going to enjoy it.
I see.
And it's very complicated, and we also, you know, it's important that the genetics of the animal lend those kinds of animals to finishing on grass, so that they have, you know, the breeding in them to be able to do that, and also the age of them is important too.
So I've been eating grass fed beef for kind of a long time, and probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, there was a huge variety in the different flavors of grass-fed beef. You didn't know what you were going to get. Sometimes it seemed a little gamey. Sometimes it seemed so delicious that you wanted everyone in the world to come over and try it. It was just so good. And it seemed a little unreliable, you know? So are you saying that's you're trying to get a reliable product that tastes delicious to the consumer, that is where your expertise kind of comes in?
Well, I'd like to think so, because
okay.
that's certainly our goal.
Yeah.
And that has been...
I mean, your beef is so good. You guys have just the greatest stuff. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And that's been the real struggle with marketing grass-fed beef for anyone that's been doing this, you know, since it became, you know, kind of a viable product to market or to differentiate, really. Is the consistency and the sometimes the you know, real lack of enjoyment in eating it. And so what's so critical to us and what we kept is our mission.
Yeah.
Is to make sure that every piece of meat would be a good one, and we've really then taken on what's necessary to learn and to do what it makes to make high quality grass fed beef, so that every time you get it, we hope you like it.
Oh, well, I've never, ever, ever, ever so far had anything I wasn't just completely impressed with.
And can I play host here for a second?
Yeah.
Henry, how long does it take? I mean, if there's a steak on my plate, how long did it take to make that steak?
Well, at least 2 years, and probably longer, because the animals are ideal, we're finding, if they're ready to slaughter when they're between 24 and 30 months of age. Now, that's quite a bit older than an animal that you would get from the conventional production system. Not only that, if we include the genetic component and what it takes, you know, so the thought process goes way back even beyond 2 years, but the production cycle alone is at least 2 years. And
excellent. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Henry Giacomini and Dan Martin, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Hey, you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. If you have any questions for our two ranchers, you can call us at 605-4567. And welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, you know, what are you guys, now that you're teaming up and you're just, well, you've already kind of been teamed up because you really have, you know, the consumer, nothing's going to change for the consumer really here with this new partnership. You're just mostly supporting each other, and you have to figure out labeling. So yeah. What's that going to look like to the consumer who is,
you know,
listening to this show? Are they going to notice anything?
What's silly about this whole thing is that, you know, you're not, it's really, really intended to benefit the consumer in the end, because we're again doing the local product. We're talking about a Shasta County product, and it's coming from Hat Creek. And so you're still going to see the Lazy 69 label. You're still going to see the Hat Creek Grown label around town. And there's really nothing's going to change except for the quality is enhanced. And You know, really, it's a matter of resources and strengths, too, is we realize that we're a lot stronger together, especially in these times, than knocking heads competing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like it.
I have some strengths. He has some strengths. And collectively,
use them. Yeah.
You know, we are a Shasta County product, and it's all coming from Pam and Henry at Hat Creek Grown.
So no label changes that we're really going to see in the next year or maybe? Or
you know,
right now we can just let the consumer know that both labels, Hat Creek Grown or Lazy 69, it just means the same thing,
right,
basically.
And if you see, if I happen to, you know, give you a burger order and you have some Hat Creek Grown burger in there, there's no need for panic. It just means that, you know, really what to me Hat Creek Grown is, it defines locality of the product. And I think that's important because it is coming from Hat Creek. And that is where it's grown. And it is a local product. And so it really distinguishes it as a local product. And so, you know, there's no reason for alarm. You still have, I'm still the point of accountability, you know, for the beef.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure this out. We're kind of making this up as we go along, to tell you the truth. You know, we don't have the answers, but we do know that the consumer needs a consistent quality product. And
so you're working together.
And that we can provide it collectively.
Excellent. Now, Henry, I want to go back to this idea of a genetically smaller cow, beef, whatever you want to call them, steer, and like the pressure on the grass and how there's just like some connection there between stimulating grass to grow and overgrazing, this whole thing. Like you guys have it all figured out, but can you explain that to the... to the listeners?
Well, yeah, they're kind of two different things in a way.
It's okay to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's okay. They're related somewhat.
Okay.
The genetic makeup of the cow, of the animal, why that's important and why a smaller one typically works better for us is that, one, they have a lower maintenance requirement so that they can take more of what they eat and convert it into...
oh.
What we want, rather than keeping themselves alive.
I see.
And so they typically require less energy, less calories to do that and for them to do what we're asking them to do.
I see.
And also, smaller animals typically, it correlates to earlier maturing so that we can not only do they require less calories to do that, but they also can do it at a younger age, which... you know, typically is better for us for a turnover perspective so that we can keep the animals moving through the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And not have them there so long that it makes it kind of hard to make the business work. And so those two things go together, and how they relate to the grazing aspect is, well, first of all, the grazing is under our control, and how any grazing occurs is truly under the control of the manager and the owner of the cattle and the property, and that always has been and probably always will be, because we do have to have, you know, they're out there on their natural environment, but we none of us have the ability to just let them do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. What's really, I think, the key is that the cattle are happy in terms of content, and they're getting their needs met and from their diet and from their social aspects that, you know, that makes cows happy to be cows. And so, but that grazing management is what has really become so critical in to be able to produce a high quality product consistently.
I see. Well, you know, I want to make a little change here in our topic. I want to talk about the Farm Bureau. And I know that, Henry, you're the president, and Dan, you're on the board, right? Or something like that? Okay.
Yes.
What's the Farm Bureau? I mean, you know, you hear about the Farm Bureau, it's like, I don't even really know what you do.
Well, Farm Bureau is a membership organization of primarily farmers and ranchers. It's a nationwide organization. It's a state organization that's affiliated to the national organization, and those of us in Shasta County, where we have Shasta County Farm Bureau, is an affiliate of California Farm Bureau. And, you know, Farm Bureau has been around for, many years. I mean, maybe 100, maybe not quite 100 years. But it's an organization that was started and still is to advocate and protect farmers and ranchers and the needs that they have so that those farm and ranch families can continue to be viable and have, you know, the lives that, that they desire and the businesses that work for them, and to be able to produce quality food for everyone, all of the population.
Is it large in Shasta County? How many members do you have, or are we gaining members? Are we losing members? Are ranches coming or going, or what's
that, that's I you know what I should know that and
he's
I
blushing.
I don't know the exact
I'm the
number,
president.
But yeah, really, how dare you?
I know. I'm sorry.
It is growing. You know, we've had ups and downs in membership, but right now we're on a little bit of an incline in terms of membership, and we're really trying to make sure that Farm Bureau represents the true farmers and the agriculture in Shasta County. And that's, I think, a goal that we've always had, but I think because of the face of agriculture is changing in Shasta County. And
why?
Well, you know, the stable businesses and the stable industries are still here, but their numbers and percentages are changing, and what's really becoming significant is the local food movement and the amount of small local farmers that are producing food for the public, and they have needs too, and Shasta County Farm Bureau is making an effort and trying to really make sure that we can become, you know, an organization that also can meet their needs, and those folks then can come to Farm Bureau for assistance as well. And I think that that's the biggest change I see in farming and agriculture in Shasta County, is the smaller producers, this local food system, all everything we've been talking about, and how that's becoming significant. And Farm Bureau is positioned to I think, really be there for those people as a resource of information and advocates for their businesses and their needs.
Okay, Dan, why are you part of it?
Well, it's like having a big brother looking over my shoulder to protect me. Is the way I feel about it is, you know, I'm working every day. I don't have a big pool of legal resources or other things, you know, that if I needed to defend something or if some regulation, I have at least some avenue to pursue this and say, hey, I need some help with this, you know, and I have resources. I have, you know, Larry Ferrero from UC Davis, Cooperative Extension is there as a pool of resources. And to me, it just really, it feels, it's like a security blanket. It feels good that I have somebody in my corner.
Oh,
and that's,
excellent.
And I think I would encourage people that like my product and, you know, the Hat Creek Grown product and the eggs, to join the Farm Bureau because it does support us.
So you don't have to be a farmer or a rancher?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
absolutely!
New
not.
Information. Okay.
No.
Hey. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
Today.
Hey, this is Dr. Trudy. Welcome back. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. In the studio, we have Henry Giacomini from Hat Creek Grown Ranch up in Hat Creek, of course, and we have Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch in Round Mountain. So, and you know what? They're partnering up, so they're going to just make the Shasta County beef that much more secure, that much more available to people, and I think that's a pretty exciting partnership that you've worked out. So far, partnership life is good. It's like an hour old. Is it good? Is it still fun?
Well, I think, you know, the people that should be really excited are the people eating the beef.
Okay.
Because we're anchoring our program here in their backyard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, tell me, you know, somebody call me and tell me where your beef is currently coming from.
I know.
The other thing, too, is that it helps us both with the economics of all of this because, you know, there's a struggle there to do all these things and to figure out at the end how that's actually going to make money. And this is going to enhance that for both of us. And because we are working on our strengths and we're going to be able to concentrate on things that we know how to do, and it's and that, too, is going to secure the supply much more so for our customers. And I think,
you know, something Henry just said that has been dear to me is that, you know, our operation is sustainable environmentally, ecologically, pasturing animals sustainably within the limits of the pasture. And, you know, the business end has to at some point be accountable for sustainability also.
Exactly.
If we're going to keep this stuff available to people, you know, we're at a time we need to share resources more than ever. And we're combining our strengths, and it's really going to benefit the consumer immediately and in the long run, I think.
So I you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but like, just why is your beef so good? I mean, it's just so good. I mean, I've had a lot of beef, but yours is just so good.
Well,
why?
We sweat bullets over it. That's why.
It's your sweat.
We nervously sweat everything out, and when I was on here with Vicky from Orchard, we tried to define what local meant. An afternoon drive is kind of where we should be able to go to see these places. Well, you can drive by the pasture, in Hat Creek and see why the beef is so good. But Henry is the mad scientist behind the beef, so I'll let him answer why the beef is so good.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I really do appreciate that, and that's because that's so important. And before I get too far into it, I want to make sure people know, to call us up if they want to come and see what we're doing and look at the ranch and see, really what's going on there. We're open any time. I mean, of course, we'll have schedules to look at just like everyone else, but we want people to be able to understand and know that this is a open and transparent business, and if you want to come and see what we're doing, we'd be glad to have you. And, the answer to why is all of the above. We've talked about it a lot today, and it really just is down to we have to watch the details of this process from beginning to end, and there's no shortcuts to be made. And if we tried, we'd probably get caught sooner or later, and it would be in the quality and the eating experience and the enjoyment a consumer may.
So details matter. We have to learn that over and over again, don't we? Now, how do people find you guys? So we know you, Dan, our lazy69ranch.com. Okay, Henry, how do we find you?
We're hatcreekgrown.com.
Well, that was easy. Yeah, okay.
Pretty simple.
And then right now your beef is at Country Organics.
Right.
Okay.
Ours is in Country Organics, and we also would sell direct, make deliveries to consumers here in locally.
Okay, so do you do a delivery too? Do you have a route where you're delivering also? Kind of Dan has a little route that he delivers to people.
I wouldn't define it as a route because what we try to do is as orders come in, we'll combine those deliveries with other things we're doing in the Redding or, the outer lying areas of Shasta County. So what we try to do is make it convenient for everyone involved.
Okay.
And we'll bring it to the house or we'll meet someplace, whatever it takes.
Or you can go up to the campground up there in Hat Creek and,
fish a little bit and go
whatever.
Over and get some beef. Yeah. Now, are you still doing deliveries?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, every week we come to town. Somebody will email me and say, can you drop this off? And sure, absolutely. No
excellent.
Problem.
Okay.
No,
well, I want to thank both of you for coming on today. And I hope that this is just the beginning of the perfect partnership. And, we need it to be something, one of the reasons we have this show is so that my patients and anyone who is sick trying to get well can have access to clean food. And then the more we can make people aware of good, clean food before they get sick, isn't that, prevention is a big deal. The common sense is to start eating good food before you're sick. But often, unfortunately, it works the opposite way. So it takes a little bit of education to the public, and that's what we're doing here today. So you've been listening to Positively Healthy, and do listen to us next week. We're going to be talking about genetically modified organisms, and that's such a big, long gobbledygook of words that will be fascinating. We have some experts calling in, and we'll be talking to you next week. You've been listening to Dr. Trudy Pratt, and this is Positively Healthy.